Hi, this is Meredith Foster. This is the Epic Podcast. Enjoy.
I was pretty honest with, I don't love you. Don't take this for me wanting to be with you. I wish that I didn't have to do this, but I feel like I do. So yes, I'm withdrawing the divorce.
Everybody has a story, and everyone is a chapter, a piece of a much bigger picture. Welcome to Epic.
A great big story
that's been happening since the beginning. It's filled with redemption,
suffering,
hope,
and power.
And power. It has many characters.
And though you and I
are a part of it,
we are not.
We're not
the hero. This is Epic.
Hi, this is Meredith Foster. Jamie Crozier believed staying in her marriage would mean a life of misery, total unhappiness for all of her days. We shared part one of Jamie and Kevin's story in last week's episode of Epic. When Kevin and Jamie met, their life of partying together made them happy. But after marriage, a child, and an affair, Jamie was very unhappy and filed for divorce. Kevin didn't want that, but he had no idea how to fix what was broken, either himself or his marriage. Until a friend gave him the movie Fireproof. For the first time, Kevin realized that God might want to heal their marriage. This is chapter 47 of Epic, Kevin and Jamie Crozier's story. Was there any inkling for you like he's changing, or did you still think that was an act?
I think for a long time, I thought it was still an act.
Yeah. Over the course of that 18 months, I went through the Love Dare book either 5 or 6 times. What was so neat about that, not only is the Love Dare book fantastic as you're pressing into verses from the Bible and really building a foundation for what marriage looks like, it was really helping transform me as well and develop discipline and obedience and responsibility as I continued to focus on that and what God was doing. My eyes were shifting away from the behaviors and the drinking and the partying and all the things that I thought made me happy, and that kind of became my focus. So with the opportunity that I had to pray with people and the pastors that took time out to meet with me weekly or daily or stop what they were doing when I was just a mess, that 18 months became a foundational building of what's to come that I didn't recognize it in the moment, but layer by layer, it was a continual move toward the destiny that God had for us as opposed to continuing to go down the path I was on.
You were a changed man.
It's neat to look back now after years have gone by, and I think that was probably one of the coolest parts that I've recognized with people around me. For people around me to have known what I was like prior to this moment in my life, and then to see me on the other side of what that looked like, people were able to recognize there's no way that happens personally without intervention and intercession from God. And so it was cool to see a shift that was recognizable enough that people could look at and say,
what's going on with you? What finally broke through?
I think so he was starting to attend then the same church that I was attending. That became a great tension because I was like, this is my church. I invited you and I no longer want to be with you, so you need to leave. And he just didn't. And thankfully, our church was growing at that time. So they had a season where they were having 3 services on Sunday morning. And so Kevin would go to the very early service and I would go to the last service. So we never had to cross paths. But I kept hearing his name be brought up with people and just, oh, you know, we had an opportunity to pray with Kevin again. And we were both meeting with the pastors, not necessarily for reconciliation. I was more meeting with them like, okay, you're the pastor. You can tell him to leave, right? Because he's not listening to me. And Kevin was more meeting with them. You're the pastor. You can help her know that we should be married still.
And is that why you weren't divorced? You wanted it and he was saying no? I mean, why wasn't your divorce finalized by then?
There was a lot of paperwork and expenses. And so saving up to be able to pay for the next process. And while Kevin, my recollection is that even though I was pushing through for the divorce, Kevin was waiting to the very last day that he legally had to sign any document, trying to prolong the divorce in hopes of reconciliation, which only made me more angry because I wanted this to be over. And by this point, I think I was into that long-term relationship where we had planned on, we had a house picked out and everything. We had planned on buying this house and getting married as soon as this divorce was over. And so I was very eager to have that happen. But yet he just kept attending church and kept meeting with the pastors about reconciliation. And I kept trying to convince them that it was over. And so it had been a year and 2 months. In November, I had this moment with God, and several things happened. One of the things was I just felt like something in me was saying that it was God's will for us to stay married. But I didn't understand that, because to me that meant that I would be unhappy forever. To me that meant that I would be with an alcoholic husband. To me that meant that Emily would have a bad father for the rest of her life. How can that be God's will? And I absolutely did not believe that he was changed. I thought it was all an act. And if I did this, if we stayed together, I would be unhappy forever. And I thought, I'm going to test God, which I don't ever recommend. I don't ever recommend people do that. But I did in that moment. That's what I did. And I said, God, I don't know what this is. So I thought, I know I'm going to test God. So God, if this is really you, I want you to give me a dream tonight that has specifically to do with Kevin being my husband. And I went to bed and I had a dream. And it was exactly that. And I thought, oh, I was only dreaming that because I thought about it. So, you know, God, if that really is you, I want to have a dream, but I want it to be different. But I want it to have the same theme as Kevin as my husband. And I want to have another dream, but it needs to be different. And that night I had another dream. And so again, I thought, it's just because I'm thinking about it. But so 3 nights in a row, I prayed this before I went to bed. And 3 nights in a row, I had the same themed dream of Kevin being my husband. So then I knew that this is what God was telling me. And in my mind, though, it meant, okay, I have two choices here. I can knowingly go against what God is telling me to do, which in my mind meant I'm going to hell. Or I can do what God's telling me to do, but it means that my life on earth will be hell. Either way, it was hell. And so I decided that I was going to do what God was calling me to do, and I was going to stay in the marriage. And I knew at the moment that it meant that I was saying that I would lose the love of my life, that's who I thought I was with at the time, and that I would be in a loveless marriage. I would never feel those butterflies in my stomach. I would never be attracted to Kevin, but I would go to heaven because I was going to do what God wanted me to do. So it was purely out of obedience, but even obedience without the right motives. But what God is so faithful in is, even if it's not the right motives, he still honors the obedience. And it was a step. So I took that step. So that was in November.
Did you end your relationship?
I did, yes. And I had a talk with that person and said, look, this is, I explained it to him. This is what I feel like. I could be with you and we could have a happy life, but I feel like I would go to hell for that. Or I can be with Kevin, who I don't love. And I'm like, I love you. I don't love him. But I feel like this is what God is calling me to do. So what I need you to do for me is, if you really love me, I need you never to contact me again. And he never did. So in that moment, Kevin had actually signed all the final paperwork. And our court date was that next day. And we were going to be legally divorced. And I called my attorney that morning and basically was like, I don't know how to explain this, but I feel like God is telling me I shouldn't do this. And I want to know if you can withdraw this divorce. And he's like, we're past that point. It's on the docket. But the way he explained it to me was, it's already on like the table at the courthouse. So he can't just go in there and withdraw it. We would be divorced, but we could be remarried if we wanted, but it was already past the point of withdrawal. But he said he would call Kevin's attorney and he would call the courthouse and see if it can. But he's like, that doesn't happen. So you will most likely be divorced. But if you choose to be remarried, you can. But don't ever call me to be your attorney again. We are done. That was the final conversation with my attorney.
Did you tell your attorney before you told Kevin?
I don't think I did. Because I think that Kevin had a phone call from his attorney. I remember you calling me at work and saying, I just want to make sure that I have this correct. And I think you said, I got a phone call from my attorney saying I may not have to appear at court because you're trying to withdraw the paperwork. Kind of like, what's happening? And I was pretty honest with, I don't love you. Don't take this for me wanting to be with you. I wish that I didn't have to do this, but I feel like I do. So yes, I'm withdrawing the divorce. I'm attempting to withdraw it. In the back of my mind, I was kind of hoping it didn't work, that we couldn't be taken off the docket and that we would be divorced. And I felt like if that happened, that would be God's sign that... that's my out. I'm always looking for the out. So I just made sure to let Kevin know. Don't get your hopes up, buddy. This doesn't mean that I love you or want you. But yes, it is true. I did withdraw the paperwork.
Could the divorce be stopped? Was there even a remote chance their marriage could be saved? Was this an answer to prayer? Part two of their story is coming up on Epic. Welcome back to Epic. Thanks so much for listening today. We believe everybody has a chapter in God's great big story, and we'd love to hear about yours. When you visit our website, you can check out other chapters of Epic, read articles about our guests, share a podcast with a friend, and tell us about your God story at myfaithradio.com. Today, Kevin and Jamie Crozier are sharing their story. Their marriage was a mess, hopeless. On the night before their divorce was finalized, God made it clear he wanted Jamie to stay. Here's the conclusion to their story.
I was pretty honest with, I don't love you. Don't take this for me wanting to be with you. I wish that I didn't have to do this, but I feel like I do. So yes, I'm withdrawing the divorce. I'm attempting to withdraw it. In the back of my mind, I was kind of hoping it didn't work, that we couldn't be taken off the docket and that we would be divorced. And I felt like if that happened, that would be God's sign that... that's my out. I'm always looking for the out. So I just made sure to let Kevin know. Don't get your hopes up, buddy. This doesn't mean that I love you or want you. But yes, it is true. I did withdraw the paperwork.
How did you feel when you had that conversation with her?
I think probably the first emotion was there was actually some amount of hope, like, the effort that I had put in had been recognized and there was a shift from where I thought it was going to wind up. But then the fear and the worry of what she was explaining of, I don't love you. I'm doing this because God said I'm supposed to do this. That was when we decided that we needed to sit down with a Christian counselor and really start trying to determine what do the next steps look like for us. So we had agreed, several people had made recommendations to us, and Tom Campion, he was incredible. And it was really neat. Like, we look back at and laugh now the first time we showed up there, and he was talking to us about, you guys sit for just a second and think about three things that you appreciate about one another. And after the things that we had put each other through, we couldn't think of a single thing that we appreciated about the other. And we laughed because it was like, well, thanks for not killing me in the car ride up here today. And thanks for taking the garbage out this week. And it was just amazing to look at a person that you have been married to and known that long. And you're like, I can't even think of a single thing that I'm appreciative of. All of the months after that, we've sat and talked to Tom about his ability to look at the two of us sitting on a couch completely broken, to put the brokenness aside and see two people that God joined together as one, and to recognize the gold in each one of us and to see what God was actually doing past the lens of condemnation and the mess that we had made. He looked at the two of us and saw what God brought together and the hope and the purpose and the destiny that God had for each one of us. And he looked at it like, we're going to build a bridge one step at a time to get you back toward what that looked like. And it was so helpful. I remember talking about, well, we want to restore or reconcile our marriage. And he really gave us a great perspective of, we're not looking at this like, how are we going to rebuild what you had? Like, what you had is dead. It's buried. We're not going to resurrect that. We're starting brand new with what God's vision and plan for marriage looks like. And it was just so helpful to start with that base and really start to understand and recognize and create what the expectation and the meaning of marriage look like, so that we understood how we were feeling and how to work through communication and our love for one another.
Do you remember maybe one of the first times when you looked at him and you thought, I think maybe I do want to be married to you?
We were just talking about that on the way up here. You know, so there was a long process just because I said, I'm not going to get a divorce. It wasn't like immediately that meant I wanted to be married to you. I kept my apartment, even though I didn't live there. I did move back in pretty quickly to the house with Kevin because I felt like that is what God was asking me to do. But I kept that apartment until May. So another 6 months before I felt comfortable even letting the apartment go. And so during that time, I struggled. I was proud of myself because I wasn't in any other relationships. I didn't try to contact any of the other men. I was honestly trying to just find out who I was and what my purpose was because I felt like this can't be it. And I prayed every day that I would have a love for Kevin. I prayed every day that I would have a desire to be a part of this marriage because I couldn't just fake it. I just didn't. I wasn't attracted to Kevin. I didn't want to be in this marriage. I was doing it completely out of obligation and obedience to Jesus. And one day, probably around that May time, Kevin dropped something and he bent over and I was like, just subconsciously, without even thinking, was looking at his bottom and thinking that looked good. And then I about had a heart attack. I was like, ew, 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 what am I doing? It is like thinking like that about a sibling. Like it was just so weird. It was so foreign. It had been so long. And I think I had to get up and leave the room. Like I just could not even believe that this thought crossed my mind that I was even physically attracted to Kevin again. That moment, Holy Spirit just spoke to me in that moment saying, I am faithful. You are faithful. I am faithful. This is a partnership. It's left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. And you make decisions and you go one at a time and you may not know what you're walking into, but your obedience, it changes history and it's going to change who you are and how you feel. And it's not out of your power. It's out of my power. It's out of the power of God that this is possible. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt then that was the first time that I had hope.
What was the next sort of, you know, step when you began to realize this wasn't just going to be a marriage of commitment?
I think finding the tools is such a big deal and having an understanding of what that's going to look like that you both can agree on, that husband and wife can come together and agree on. What was great for us with counseling, we were at counseling every week. And for me anyway, I knew that we didn't have to talk about anything heavy until we were with that third party person that can help us process through what we were trying to say and how it relates to the other person. So the time that we were together was free to almost like date. Like, so we knew that we had made an agreement. We weren't going to talk about marriage. So what are we going to talk about? And it was awkward for a while, but then we really got to know each other because we were kind of forced to talk about other things. But in counseling, we had so many great tools of how to communicate. And also, I think a big freeing thing for both of us was our counselor said, we need to talk about if you two are going to talk about what happened during your separation. Because Kevin knew that I was dating, but he didn't know, you know, every gory detail. And I knew that he had been unfaithful during our marriage, but I didn't know every gory detail. And he asked us this question. Eventually, we got to the point where he could say, my question is, let's just assume that your worst case scenario in your mind is truth. Would you still today be able to say that you want to continue in your marriage? And at that point, we could both say yes. And so we agreed that we were not going to discuss the past because like Kevin said, that is the past. It is dead and buried. If we are asking forgiveness for our sins, Jesus no longer remembers them. And if we can forgive each other and we can both agree on that, then we can say we will no longer bring that up. And if we do have a question, if there is something that comes up, you know, later down the line, we think, I would really like to know, that we both agree that we will only do that in the context of a counseling visit so that we can walk through those things together and not on our own. And for years, we agreed. And for years, it never even came up. It was amazing. And we still had to use our tools. I mean, it didn't happen overnight. We had to use our discussion tools. We needed to make promises to each other. And we kept those on our fridge so we could see them all the time. And we had to have healthy boundaries, which meant for us, it meant no pornography. It meant that we would keep our cell phones in a public place and intentionally leave them. So if I went to take a shower, I would intentionally leave my cell phone where he could see it so that he would have the freedom to look at it. And I would give him permission. If ever you see my phone and you want to look at it, and we shared passwords for everything. And we made agreements not to have any one-on-one private conversations with anyone of the opposite sex. And it's not that we don't trust each other, but it's that we know that we have a real enemy who wants to come in and destroy our marriage. And if he can use any little thing, he will, and we're not going to give it to him. So even to this day, we have that agreement. So it was great to have those tools. I think then we started to do things together that had to do with Jesus in us. So we started to go to small group together. We started to pray together. We started to read books together about how we can each be living in God's will in our lives individually, but we were looking at that together. So the closer we were getting to God individually, the closer we were getting together in our marriage.
Do you remember when you first began to realize that she really might love you and wasn't just committed to you?
That for me felt kind of gradual over time. I remember, like she was saying, just our time spent together going to small group and doing these things where we really began to understand that voids that we felt in our life can be filled by God, and we don't have to rely on my needs aren't being met by Jamie, so now I'm unhappy. It was, oh, okay, I can go to God, I can go to other godly friends and pray together and really start figuring out what all these things look like. So for me, there was a huge shift in the selfishness that I had in my heart that was melting away. I was like, man, this next thing we know, we're just having a great time together. And all of the confrontation and tension that existed between us, now as we had the tools to be able to communicate better with one another, mm-hmm. and we're really pressing into more of that lens of how does God see your spouse? How does God see you? I think, as you mentioned, the closer that we individually got to God and the more that we understood who we were created to be, we could then share the love that he had for us with each other. And that was so new to each one of us and the way we function in our relationship that it really became this ongoing excitement that we were just like, wow, this is so cool what God's doing. There was so many times with people around that would say, you know, you can forgive, but you're never going to forget. And you mentioned earlier how we had made that agreement that we weren't going to bring it up. It really had no impact, even if it was worst case scenario. What difference does it make? And I think one of the coolest redemptive powers of God is looking back at that years after the fact, we can laugh and joke now and be like, did that really happen? Like, is that what we did? And we have forgotten. Like, it's not something that we have to sit and really take captive our thoughts and not think about this every single day. And it's such a burden. It's like we were completely freed of that. Mm-hmm. And God did help erase that from our memories to where now it's like, yeah, that was really dumb. I don't know why in the world we were behaving that way, but it's not something that is seated in us that we have to worry about or be concerned about.
Yeah, I was going to add that there is huge freedom when you realize that it is not your spouse's responsibility to make you happy. That was a huge mind-blowing thought to me when I had that understanding that it was never Kevin's responsibility to make me happy. God created me to get my happiness from Jesus. And if I'm trying to get that from anyone else, not only will I always be disappointed, but I put an unfair expectation on that person to make me happy. And it sounds so harsh, but it was so freeing because I could free Kevin from that. And if he did something that didn't necessarily make me happy, He's just being human. We do that all the time. I choose connection with Kevin regardless of how he necessarily makes me feel. And Kevin is the same way. He freed me from trying to fulfill any of his needs because I will always fall short. I am human. I will always make mistakes. I will always fail Kevin. I will. And that's a promise. But God never will. And as long as he is relying on God for the happiness and to fulfill his needs, and if I am relying on God for my happiness and to fulfill my needs, there is so much freedom in our relationship. And I never doubt, I never think that he is going to do something like be unfaithful to me or do something drastic, because I know that he loves God more than he loves me. And I love God more than I love him.
Kevin and Jamie say one of the important things they know about themselves, or for any couple that's struggling, God loves you more than you can imagine. God is for your marriage. And happiness, it doesn't come from your spouse, but it comes out of that relationship with God. We're so grateful to Kevin and Jamie for sharing their story honestly. If you missed part one, you can find that episode and more great stories from Epic on our website, myfaithradio.com. Big thanks to the team that makes Epic possible, Ted Ross and Jason Rackow for help with production, Stephen Johnson for our show's theme song, and I'm your host, Meredith Foster. See you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Every episode of Epic is made possible by people like you. You can make a gift today at myfaithradio.com. And if you love the show, let others know about it by sharing this audio link. You can make sure you never miss an episode when you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcast player.